This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here in Hawaii. We are always looking forward to get back on, and as you know, it's the political season, and the Easter Bunny is going to come Tuesday, and we're going to have new guys running the shop, and we'll start it all over again, I guess. And some native people used to, in the villages, burn them out and go settle at another site and come back later in a couple of years and clean house that way, so... Voting is upon us, and it's ready to rock and roll. So, anyway, today I wanted to take a jog away from voting and all of that. And as you know, I'd like to discuss the human issues that impact people, the environment, animals, and what have you. And I stumble upon one interesting subject matter. I mean, it's about us all the time, and... This young lady had already interviewed with Tina Quizon at Pathways of Paradise, and so as a result, I stumbled up and was introduced to her, and her name is Terry, I should say, Ms. Terry Lene Peake, and Ms. Peake has an interesting story. I played that song, Beauty's Only Skin Deep, for a special reason. Just in this town alone, or in this state, there's this clamor or behavior now. The young ladies have to to feel their worth, to feel beautiful. They got to augment their breasts or their eyes or do some cut and tuck and cut and nip or what have you. And I know it's for self-esteem in some of them, and some say it's for medical and self-assurance and what have you. But Ms. Peake had a different story, but based on beauty and the success of, you know, the American dream And we're going to be talking with her. And she is a former October 1987 penthouse girl. A pet.
I'm a pet, yes. I'm a former pet. That's right. Yes, centerfold, yes.
Centerfold. And again, that's the for the guys that are out there that are still stuck on what? Well, yes, October 1987. She was a penthouse centerfold.
Yes, sir.
And I'm pleased to talk with her because, and, you know, men have this thing about beauty, and we just like to be pleased, but we don't understand what it takes and the dangers that a woman submits herself to or subject herself to for just from our scrutiny or to be... I'm going to be free with these comments, but be eye candy for us when, in fact, it's a heavy burden. So anyway, thank you for joining me, and I hope that we can talk about this. 524-1080 is the number if you care to call in and have questions. And, again, this is about Terry Lene Peake. That's P-E-A-K-E. And once again, it's about breast implants, and there were, you know, two scares. One was the ugly booger bear or early on, and you have the saline one. So if you could, good morning, and thank you for joining me. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got from A to B, and then where are we now, and share with us some of the health issues and the risk and your philosophy about this?
Well, good morning, Carol. You could say that I live the life that every young girl dreams of. You know, I traveled from city to city signing autographs, wearing sparkly dresses.
Mm-hmm.
I came from San Diego originally, born and raised. Grew up in theater and school.
Mm-hmm.
President of the drama club. Speech and debate, all of those good things. Had a scholarship at San Diego State, as a matter of fact. But I had bigger dreams. See, I wanted to move to L.A. and be an actress, mm-hmm. be a movie star, you know. Which is a very common dream for a lot of young girls. They want to be a model. They want to be a star. Nowadays, even more popular, everybody wants to be a star. So anyways, I moved to L.A. I became a waitress to begin with, as a lot of young girls do in Hollywood, and began going out on little small interviews and little photography workshops to get some pictures together. And then go on auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so slowly but surely you build up a little bit of a portfolio, and that's the path that you go on. And so you'll meet a lot of photographers and a lot of casting agents and whatnot, and that's all fine and good, and you work on a couple films and you feel like, wow, you know, I'm really, really making it now, mm-hmm. you know. And there's another side to the business, which is perpetuated on a lot of young ladies. We're very naive when you go to L.A. to think you're going to be a star. And there's just a lot of misbeliefs about mm-hmm. becoming a star and what you need to do to become a star. And one of the paths that I found myself on, Carol, was being proposed in a way of, well, how would you like to be a centerfold? How would you like to test for Playboy? How would you like to test for Penthouse?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a beautiful young body, 25 years old, and I had done bikini shoots and videos with cars and whatnot along the beach. And, you know, so I had a beautiful physique. I worked out a lot. Excuse me. And so I thought, well, gosh, why not? You know, let's give that a try. And a lot of young girls think that, you know, if they get in Playboy, then they're on their way. And it has been a really big stepping stone for some people. It really has.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of women that have been in Playboy or Penthouse that have gone on to have successful careers.
Mm-hmm.
So I tested for Penthouse, and pictures came out beautiful. And they said, well, we've only got one small issue. They're gorgeous. But your breasts were kind of large, and so they've kind of sagged a little bit. And we love everything about you. You got the great look. You got perfect look. We'd love to use you, but... Do you think you could maybe get the breast lifted? And I said, well, you know, I guess I could. Hadn't really ever thought about it before. It had never come up. And so I checked into having them lifted. And, of course, when they do a lift procedure, plastic surgeons will do a T incision, and it's too much scarring to do a centerfold. So they said to me, well, they've got these new implants out on the market. They're called saline implants. And we'll advance you the money if you'd like to get that done. And then, you know, you can go on to be a centerfold.
Mm-hmm.
So I, thinking that's the greatest thing ever, checked into it. I was told they last a lifetime. They're only saline, so if anything ever happens and they leak or whatnot, that's just like an IV bag of salt water, or your body will absorb it. They're perfectly safe. They wouldn't have them on the market if they weren't safe. So I went ahead, and, of course, they looked beautiful, did the centerfold. Centerfold came out in 1987, and I got to live out my dream for a while. But then the dream turned into a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that nightmare took about 15 years to discover even the possibility that it might be the implants, because I had never even thought that it could be. I gave birth to my daughter here in Hawaii 15 years ago, and I got sick shortly after I gave birth. And so at first it was attributed to maybe giving birth, childbirth. I started with joint pain in my hips, mm-hmm. so that made sense, made total sense that it might be from being pregnant and all that. And so went to hundreds of doctors, took about, I don't know, I guess 12 years to rule everything else out, because that's what they do. They, you know, the doctors are really helpful. They try to rule everything out. Never once did it even come up that it could be the implants. Now, mind you, the implants have been in 20 years now at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And never heard of anything about saline making you sick, the saline implants, only silicone. I mean, everybody knew in the 80s that silicone was bad. Here I am sick, and at my worst point, the joint pain was widespread, and I was eventually diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the heck is that? My goodness, you know. And so I started to look into that, and just the diagnosis alone is a very depressing diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
because you find out it's a lifetime. It's there's no cure for it. Now, it doesn't kill you, but it's like having arthritis throughout your whole body, every joint. You get high inflammation, headaches all the time, migraines, can't sleep. And then the brain fog started. And when I say brain fog, a lot of people don't understand what that is. I had gotten so bad with my brain fog that I literally thought I had Alzheimer's. Now, mind you, I was 35 years old. And the neurological problems that started after that were to the point where I couldn't even recognize what red, yellow, green meant when I would pull up to the stoplight. I'd get confused. I'd have to ask myself, well, what does that mean again? What does that red mean? What does that yellow mean?
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I found myself lost in a Kmart at Christmas time and had to go to customer service like a lost child and ask, I don't know who I'm with. I don't know why I'm here. And really scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during this point, never even considered implants. It wasn't even I just thought there was some kind of, there was a fibromyalgia I was being told. I was being told lots of different things at that time. And it just got real, real scary, let me tell you. Well, I'm remembering now. I can't cook anything because I might forget it's on the stove. The memory was so bad, I couldn't remember my assistant's name. I was in the theater business during those years and was running operations, general manager. And I'd have to ask my assistant all day long, what's your name again? What's your name again? Now, mind you, I worked with the girl for 2 years. And she'd just tell me her name all day long. What's your name again? It started affecting my job. I couldn't remember attendance figures. I couldn't remember P&L figures, things that I needed to know when my boss would call. And I had neurologists working on it, looking into things and trying to figure out what the heck is going on. I'm just too young to have this kind of a problem. And I'm at home one day, and all of a sudden I'm doing dishes, and I hear out of the corner of my ear, I hear a story about saline implants on the news. And I thought, oh, my goodness. This girl was talking about everything that I had been experiencing. And I thought, wow, could that be? So I started looking into it, and a whole new world opened up to me. One of the things I discovered that was at the time the estimates were around 400,000 women that had implants also had fibromyalgia. And I thought, well, that can't be a coincidence. That's just too big a number. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I thought about, well, I've got to get these things out of here. How do I go about doing that? And so I started contacting the cosmetic surgeons mm-hmm. and getting consultations.
Now, this obviously becomes suspect because the burden now shifts to you, apparently, as I've read a lot of your documents. And these documents that you've shared, and I really appreciate because I want to be accurate in what we convey, because there are people who can be made seriously ill from this, and I'm hoping from this you taking the time and it provides some information for someone out there that is about to step through that door at the plastic surgeon's office and get that cut, tuck, and nip to make herself look good, but not recognizing or not knowing that there are other people that have done the same thing and are sickened by it. But can you describe the climate or the excitement when you first got them? Were doctors eager and were they selling it? And then you shared with me how it is to get or find someone to remove them. Is there you conveyed there was a stock difference and very contrasting. Can you share that?
I sure can, Carol. First, I got to tell you, in all fairness to the cosmetic surgeons, okay, mm-hmm. a lot of them are artists. They do wonderful work. They were given the same information as the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I uncovered was they are given in the pamphlet with the implants and all that nonsense. They were given the same information that they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them to this day feel very uncomfortable talking about the subject. Because they were promised also. And that's their livelihood and that's their mm-hmm. business. And they do make women look beautiful. What you look like on the outside is different than what's happening maybe on the inside. And some of the things that were brought about were when this story first came up was the FDA started doing a little investigating and whatnot. And it became before Congress. And the companies that manufacture the implants themselves had to divulge some information that they hadn't divulged earlier.
Mm-hmm. But the getting the man you described to me, they were excited. You could find hundreds of them to do it.
Sure.
Can you
yeah.
speak?
I sure can. Okay, so very excited to go to the cosmetic surgeon's office. And, of course, they tell you, you know, they last a lifetime, all that. They're safe. And you get them put in. What I found was when it came time where I wanted to have them removed, a lot of the cosmetic surgeons didn't know how. They don't know who does it, who removes them. They don't know what it's called, the surgery itself, what it's called. There's a liability, I guess they'd feel, and didn't want to go there, afraid of what they might find.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell you that you're going to be, I don't want to get too graphic here. I don't know how graphic you want me to be with what they told me, but, I mean, you know, that you're going to be completely concave. Mm-hmm. Your breasts will be completely removed. You'll be so scarred and disfigured were the words they used, gutted like a fish. And you know, I got to remind you, I mean, that was my breasts were everything to me at that point. I mean, you know, I was making my career off mm-hmm. pretty much how I looked. And it's kind of hard to turn back at that point. But I just knew that I was sick and I wasn't willing to keep them in. I wanted to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have to call around and most of them didn't even want to acknowledge that they could possibly make you sick
mm-hmm.
and didn't know how to remove them
so
safely.
Difficulty in finding someone that would actually was willing. So you described to me this in the discovery of this, they start to shift, they start to harden.
Right.
And when you did remove them, there were pain and after effects. Can you talk to that and share with that experience?
The actual experience of the surgery. Well, first of all, I mean, you're frightened to death because you don't know and they don't know what you're going to look like after. So, it's the thought of going in there and looking like a totally different person. So, you know, they remove the implants themselves. They were removed. They have a scar tissue that forms around the implant almost shortly after you get them in. Mm-hmm. It's your body of walling off. That's a word that you hear a lot. Your body starts walling it off, kind of like a splinter. Your body wants to reject it and get rid of it. So your body builds up a little scar tissue around the implant and kind of walls it off and tries to force it out of your body, but it can't. So when you have your implants removed, the actual bag themselves, they also remove or are supposed to remove that scar tissue.
Mm-hmm. And so you develop scar tissue.
Absolutely.
How was it removed, and was it? Can you share the difficulty? Did you experience any difficulty in having it removed?
I did. I actually was under the impression that they were going to remove the scar tissue with the capsule. With the implant, and had to go back for a second surgery. But they put drains in. They put this plastic tubing in through your breasts, and you have to kind of, you know, milk the drains to get the blood and fluid out so that they heal properly. But I did have to go back for a second surgery to get the other capsule removed.
So when they did this, when you say they had, you mean to you, your operation. I'm trying to let the listeners get the I don't want to talk in the third party, because when I listen to you, I'm thinking there would be no way I would do that. So, I mean, and if you can be as graphic as you can.
Okay.
Because as you told me, I mean, it was riveting. That is what I will say this. When I, before this, I thought, okay, it's just you go in, you have them augmented, and they look okay, and you look nice, and you get your personality, and you walk around with the chest out, so to speak. But the reality is there are some people, and when you told me your story of how the fluid drains having to go along the sides, and you've actually shown me the documents from the doctor's office describing the procedure, I wanted to turn and walk away. So I mean, we don't want to scare anybody, but
no,
I want that young lady out there who is at the threshold or debating that, because she think chemo will look at her longer.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, you hear about the complications with the actual surgery to get the implants in itself. Mm-hmm. You don't hear about the other complications down the road that can happen 10 years later. Now they advise women that they'll have to be replaced after 10 years, like tires. You know, you have to replace them. They didn't tell us that. They said they last a lifetime. Mm-hmm. The implant itself does start to break down inside your body. So sometimes you'll have a leak. Sometimes you'll have a rupture. And then during the explant, which is what they call it, to remove it, they have to pull that stuff out of your chest cavity and all kinds of things. They don't just go in and remove the implant and you're done. It's a lot more involved than that. They remove the implant, but you've still got to get that scar tissue out as well, because that holds a lot of the contaminants, the chemicals that have been leached in your body from the implants.
And your body has circled that and isolated
yes,
it, and so
yes.
It's still there. And you showed me, shared with me, and by the way, you can see some of this in some of the lovely pictures of Terry at carolcox.com. And 524-1080 if you have any questions or if you want to share with Terry your experience or share with other listeners. But, Terry, you shared with me a photograph of some implants that were removed from you. This is what the doctor is representing. And they have valves on them.
Yes.
And then there are other, on the Internet, there are others that were removed from other people where these valves actually leaked and they grew mold. And can you talk about that?
Yeah, this is a whole, you know, another world that you discover when you start going into this. But sometimes the implants come out and they're completely black from Aspergillus, which is a mold, a fungus. Saline itself is the same saline they use in IV when you go to the hospital and they give you an IV bag, but it's supposed to be kept at a certain temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's in your body's 98.6 degrees. And it's only supposed to be kept at room temperature for 72 hours because it can grow bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're putting it in a warm body for 20 years. And what happens to some of them when they remove them, they're full of mold, fungus, bacteria. And some of the implants like mine have the valve where they had filled it up with the saline. And the valves leak in and out. Things go in and out while they're inside your body. So the bacteria can come and go freely in through those valves while they're in your body.
And these bags are silicone, made of silicone.
Absolutely. Now, every implant is silicone, yeah.
Now, they are silicone, and you shared a list of chemicals that are found in these bags, we'll call them. As my wife said, who'd ever thought you'd end up putting plastic bags in women to make yourself look beautiful? And that's basically, other than the chemicals, we worry about plastic bags breaking down in the environment. That's why we're trying to ban them.
That's right.
And so to gain beauty, to enhance the, quote, beauty, I should say, we put these. You have that list there of chemicals. If you would rattle off
I'll rattle off a few of them. You've got methyl ethyl ketone, acetone, urethane, lacquer thinner, ethyl acetate, epoxy resin, toluene, Freon, metal cleaning acid, talcum powder. Nine of them are known carcinogens.
Like toluene is...
Toluene is a known. Isopropyl alcohol, dentured alcohol, epoxy hardener, ethyl acetate, lacquer thinner, urethane, zinc oxide. You've got some metals in there.
Mm-hmm.
Platinum.
Mm-hmm.
The silica, you know.
Yeah. So after the removal, one of the greatest concerns you had expressed was that how you would look and how they had conveyed to you, oh, it might look ugly, you'd be gutted and all. The reality is you didn't take any medication. Did you recover, and did your breast grow back or fill in, or how would you describe it after the explantation?
Well, it was rough going at first. You have those drains in, which is a good thing because that helps drain some of the fluid out. But you know what? My breast tissue grew back. My breasts look the same as they did before the implants.
Mm-hmm.
A double D. I've got scars now from where they had to go in and remove these things. Mm-hmm. But my breast tissue grew back. It's fatty tissue. It grows back.
What would you say, and we'll stick to this, to a young lady that might pick up on this later, stumble up on it, or someone that's about to go and get it done or considering, what could you say to them out there in a simple phrase, or just what advice?
Well, not everybody gets sick, but a lot of women do get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women are in their 20s, 30s, 30 years old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not kind of illness that goes away. It's something that you'll be living with the rest of your life. My children missed out on a mommy 16 years. I was sick my whole daughter, her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And mommy couldn't go. And I still have to have surgeries for other parts of my body. Don't know if that's from that or not. There's no way to prove that all that made me so sick that I'm still having surgeries. But do your research. Definitely do your research. They can make you sick. It's not natural to have all those toxins in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't drink it.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, backing to your personal involvement and experience, you were the young lady, beautiful, photographs taken, submitted to the penthouse for a review, and they loved it, but they found one little problem that, as you described, your breasts were sagging in some areas. So, they told you they'd give you $5,000 to pay for the surgery, or we'll call it surgery, maybe the implantation. What did you get paid after that for that posing as centerfold? What was there hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars?
No.
Can you share with the listeners what?
Well, you know, you had reminded me because you asked me, and I hadn't really even thought about it. I didn't do it for the money. But they advanced me $5,000 to get the implants, and that was the money I received. That was it.
That was it.
That was it. Mm-hmm. I did receive monies as I did promotional work along the way, but not for the actual centerfold. That was it.
I offer that. I found that to be very interesting because that's what a lot of the young ladies think, that I'll do this, and then I want movie roles, or when there's a lot of movies being filmed here, or the guy is going to like me. But the reality is you were paid $5,000 so that you could get the implants and then show up in their magazine. They
right.
made the money, and sure enough, you made some money for going to the various events and car washes or other things and extras in movies or going and signing autographs. But the reality is that it doesn't pay to just go out and get an implant.
No, it's cost me a lot of money. Hundreds of doctors. I'm in debt from it.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Probably $50,000-$60,000 I spent on my own money.
The hardship.
The hardship. Yeah. That's the financial hardship. You know, I can't work. The fatigue is still really, really incredible. I have to really watch what I do. I have to limit my time.
Yeah. Now, you've, and we won't go into all of your issues that you've had with the health problems, but they're numerous. And the funny part is no one has argued with you, even Dow or anyone has taken issue whether you were ill from this or not. In fact, they paid money, and you can tell the amount of money. I don't know if that's disclosure, but you were paid money. Well, you weren't paid anything. The doctors were able to, that removed it, were compensated by the manufacturer of this.
That's right. They Dow did reimburse the surgeon to remove them.
Mm-hmm.
I have not received any other monies.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I mean, you know, they have a settlement and all that, but, you know, there's a myth out there that all the women that got sick made all this kind of money, and I haven't made any money. haven't gotten any money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prove that you're sick and that the implants made you sick. So in order to do that, the implants have to be removed. They have to be sent to a lab. The lab has to determine what they are, who made them, and then round and round it goes. Then they send you, Dow sends you a list of illnesses. And so they basically are letting you know, these are the illnesses you can get, which one do you have? And then you have to show that, yes, that's the one you have. And you have to be able to fit into that box. They provide the list of illnesses, which is funny. And
mm-hmm.
Then you have to prove that illness, that you have it, and that's what made you sick, and that there's a link. And after about 4 years, 5 years, you're sick already. You're exhausted from mm-hmm. the whole thing. Usually you just give up, you know, and that's kind of what they count on, because you have to be a lawyer, you have to be a doctor yourself, you know.
Yeah. So this list, and they actually compensated the surgeons to remove it. And we'll talk about some of the names of it, but you're only able to know that once they're removed, if you have them implanted. There's some of this information, and I do appreciate that you receive now, and I don't know what has changed. Questions and answers about your notification of status, where you submitted. You have to go through this whole process. Once you found the doctor that put it in, you had trouble trying to get them to disclose which manufacturer and the brand type. Can you talk about that, and we'll have a call here?
I sure can. I mean, doctors are obligated only to keep records for 10 years. And so my implants have been in 20 years. So when I contacted the cosmetic surgeon, he didn't remember what he put in, and he didn't have the records any longer. They're not required to keep the records. So I don't blame mm-hmm. I don't blame them in that. But to get them identified, there's only two or three labs in the country that do that. The actual implants themselves, I had to send them into a lab.
Someone else.
I had to package them myself mm-hmm. after they were removed from my body
mm-hmm.
and send them in to a lab
mm-hmm.
And then wait for the report to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Showing what kind they were, and get a statement from that lab saying this is the kind of implant that they are, this is the manufacturer, this is what we found on the implant.
Mm-hmm. And your original surgeon somehow couldn't, wouldn't, or didn't disclose what they were. You had problems with that?
I had a lot of problems with that. So I you know, I mean, it went round and round. And finally, he did acknowledge the type that he'd used during those years. He only used one type during those years, and he was able to send me a letter saying what they were, what mm-hmm. kind they were. And the lab that examined them after they were removed from my body also confirmed that that was the type that was used. Mm-hmm.
This is just some of the questions, real quick, and we're not rushing. Questions and answers about your notification status. This is where you had to send in and respond to them, and just to get them to start the ball rolling. Question one: I do not have any implants covered by the revised settlement program. And by the revised settlement program, why are you sending me a notification status? This is one of them. I have not been able to determine what kind of implants I had. I can't make the decision after I find out whose implants I had. These are some of the things that they say, no, you must decide now whether you want to participate in the revised settlement program, even if you do not know who made your implants. It was, on one hand, you can't find a doctor to take them out, and then when you do, you have to go through this painful process, and then respond and have to then what? Go through this long list of questions and all. Do you think it could have been simpler, made easier?
You know, I think it could have been a lot simpler. The first thing that happened when all of the, you know, problems came forward was that they, Dow Corning, declared bankruptcy. Because they knew it was coming, I guess. You know, they knew that there was a lot of women out there. They didn't want to admit that that had made them sick. I just think it would have been a lot easier if they would have said, you know, it's possible. Let's just see what we can do. They've done a lot of things since then to try to make it right. You know, they've changed the procedure with the cosmetic surgeons, what they tell girls now. The information is out there, what's in them. Some of the things have changed, and they do studies now. Before, what they did was they had Dow Corning do the study, its own study, and they did like a 3-week study on lab rats before they put them in a human body.
Mm-hmm. So this process is long, it's painful, and you're still impacted by it. So one of the other things, not just for beauty, people have these implants. It is people with mastectomies and breast removal for whatever medical reason. Is that what you're aware of, and you know of any?
I actually, you know, I have met a lot of women along the way that have had breast cancer and had double mastectomies that were encouraged for their well-being, to make them feel better about having the double mastectomy, to have breast implants. I've known some women that opted to do it and some that didn't. I know cancer survivors that have told me personally they were sicker after they did that than they actually were while they were fighting their cancer, because their immune system was weakened from radiation and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you add that on top of it, and their immune system was already compromised. Mm-hmm. And I just, that part really, really bothers me, that we have women that have survived cancer and fought cancer. And it doesn't always happen overnight. Sometimes it takes 10 years to get sick.
We have a caller. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning.
Yeah.
And good morning to your guest.
Yes.
I am one of the cancer survivors that had the implants.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we had problems. Mine was done in the 80s, and we had the sign saying this was experimental, and they couldn't guarantee. Oh, it was a whole bunch of. But the doctor said, and then you sign away your right to sue and all of that kind of stuff. But this is fine. It'll be fine. And you'll feel better about yourself and blah, 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 blah. Okay. I'm not going to take the time to tell the whole story. But one morning, it was a Labor Day weekend, and I was up early, just at dawn when the light is beginning to come through the window. And after I got out the shower, I felt this funny thing under my breast, and it was at such an angle I couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. So I woke up my husband and said, "What is this?" And he turned rather gray when he looked at it. And what was going on is that the implants were pushing themselves, or the body was pushing them out through what had been where the surgery was, you know, through the.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a Labor Day weekend, and we went through to emergency rooms and everywhere trying to get somebody that would deal with this. And the doctor that had done the surgery was off island, and nobody would touch it. Nobody. Everybody would look at it and turn rather gray and say, no, I can't touch this, I can't touch this. And finally we found a corpsman who had been in the military, and he pushed it back and banded me up with an ACE bandage like a mummy, and I had to spend the rest of the weekend, you know, like I said, like a mummy, until my surgeon got back from wherever he was over the Labor Day weekend, and then finally removed them. But it was horrible. It was just horrible. Even when they were in, they got hard. You couldn't turn over on your stomach. It was like rocks. And yes, if you were dressed, it looked fine. But it was just the turmoil of going through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Was, and now, of course, it's been many, many years. So I laugh and joke about it and saying that I can't have an affair because I look like the loser in a hatchet fight. But the point is, it's just so much better without it. And yes, I had been through a lot of years of cancer and all of the stuff, but I tell you, that was worse than any of the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you have someone on who can speak to the younger people, because, you know, all the ads for breast augmentation and all of the, they look so pretty, but we don't know. We really don't know how many people are suffering, because people won't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And until this lady stepped up and said, this is what's going on, I didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we made light of it and laughed about it, but, you know, because that's the only way I knew how to handle it.
Now, well, got the two of you. Now, some will argue, some women, men, it's their right. If they know the impacts and the negative impacts and the health risk that associated with this, but they still have the right to do this. Can either of you speak to that? Both of you talk about that. You first.
Well, I'd like to say, first of all, God bless you for calling in, and I'm so sorry what you went through. And this is one of the reasons I'm speaking out about it today, is because, you know, I feel for women and especially cancer survivors that they're not given all the information. I think if you're given all the information, you can make a proper, informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
But really what you're given is, oh, what can happen at surgery and not after surgery. And necrosis can happen. The implant can start to push out. And it's a horror story. It really is. And God bless you, dear. I hope you're better. And thank you so much for calling in. And you just, I mean, it is a nightmare, and we need to speak up about this, because if they have an informed decision where they know that it's a possibility that these can make you sick, instead of the covering up of it, they won't make you sick, then people can make an informed decision. But if they don't have all the information, they can't possibly make a good decision for themselves.
Well, one of the things that bothers me today is how many, quote, clinics are advertising that they can do this, and how many people you've seen cosmetic surgeries that have gone terribly wrong. And those are the ones you see on the cover of the Inquirer and whatnot. But we don't talk about ordinary people.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never talk anybody out of doing it just for cosmetic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it's their right, but they need to know. They need to know all of the side effects. You know, when you're giving medicine, the pharmacist gives you a paper with all the side effects. I don't remember any of that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anybody talking, telling me that this was a possibility.
I hear one common thread for the two of you. Well, with you, it's Marsha Jonah, but with you, it was about trying, because you were a professional person, and having this augmentation done would do what for you at that time? What were the influences in your psyche? What were you looking for?
For me?
Yeah, for you at that time, if you could share.
Well, at that time, I was young, of course, and the ego, all of that stuff that says you have to look a certain way. And at the time, we had two beauty salons in Waikiki, and so there was all of the facade,
mm-hmm.
you know, the makeup, the false eyelashes, the, you know, all of that. And so when the doctor, you know, says, well, we can do this, and no one will know the difference, and your clothes will fit better, and you'll feel better, and blah, 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 all of that. No one said there might be something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, which, by the way, was a great lesson for me in the ego, the facade, and all of that pride, that physicalness, that there was more to me than this physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, at the time, it looked like a good deal that we can save the outside of the breast because that's just skin, and we can put this in, and it'll look normal, and your clothes will fit better, and blah, 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 mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Wow. And you now, Terry, yours were, you this young girl who have, looking down the road at this fame and fortune and popularity and fame and fame and more fame, and did you ever have a time to think that this might hurt you or the downside of this at that time now? I mean,
no, absolutely not. I mean, you know, you go in for your consultation and they tell you, oh, yeah, they're beautiful. They last a lifetime. It's like you're buying a car, you know. This is what we do. And you know, there's some complications at the time of surgery that could happen, but they don't tell you what's involved with the chemicals and that we're putting these chemicals in your body. You don't even think of that. You don't even realize that. They just tell you that they're safe, they're saline, it's salt water. If anything ever leaks, your body will absorb it. They last a lifetime. No consideration, no mention of any possibility. And like I said, in all fairness to the cosmetic surgeons, they weren't told either. They were given a little brochure with the implants when they arrived in their office, yeah. and that's what they were told as well.
Well, we don't know because if they were told or not. I would say, based on the fact that they were reluctant to take them out, then clearly
they know something.
They know something because yeah. if you rush to have them in and you're all excited and you're going to draw a paycheck, and besides, here's what's the concern that I have after speaking with you on this. If they are going to pay the surgeon money to remove them, what difference does it make for him or her? Because they're getting paid on both ends,
right?
To put it in,
right?
So are they just there? And
well, I think
you know, and reading all of the documents and seeing this, and I'm the little light goes off in my head and go, well, there may be some ethical ones, but why weren't they aggressive? And why is it so difficult? As I've talked to a couple others. To find someone, as you two have described, to remove it.
Well, I can tell you one of the reasons is when they open you up, they don't know what they're going to find.
Oh.
And a lot of what they find is mold and fungus and necrosis and different things. And they're just not prepared to take that on because they look at that as somebody else's work.
Or a liability.
And now it's a liability for me. If I go messing with it, I can make it worse. And that's part of the removal process is that you can do some damage there and those contaminants can spill into your chest cavity. I mean, I was on 3 inhalers at the time when I had my removal. I was 35 years old and I'm on 3 different inhalers for COPD. I have no breathing issues now, but at the time, yeah, it was pretty bad.
You have anything close to
Carol? Mm-hmm. And once they removed these things, they did find something on the chest wall behind the implant.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had to go through that.
Wow.
And, of course, now x-rays are much better. The mammograms, that is, are much better. But at the time, they did not see that there was a cancer on the chest wall behind the implant until they took it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we're coming down and closing. I'm going to do a little talk about it later on in the next hour. But I was thinking last night in reading, you know, these bottles that we have, the drinking water, those fad plastic bottles, and they came out. Well, don't use certain bottles because you need a 3. If it has a 3 or a 7, it's safe, but the others leach out the contaminants. And I'm thinking, in a human body, the enzymes and the body fluids and the blood and all of those things, the immune system, what's to prevent the contents of that bag, that silicone bag, never mind you, the saline solution, from seeping out into the cell walls or what have you?
I can't answer that, but I have read that. I mean, I can't answer that firsthand. But like you, I have read lots and lots of people that have had leakage and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that there is no reason why it can't happen. I mean, it has happened. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, anyway, if you want to call back in the next hour, we'll be back here talking for a bit. And then my guest is Terry Peek, and I have Marcia join on the phone. We were talking about breast implants, their impacts, their influences, and why they are so popular and what have you. But we'll be back and talk to you in the next hour. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you.
tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Again, I had a guest, it was Marcia Joyner, call in, and here in the studio with me is Miss Terry Lynn, Lene Peak, and we were talking about breast augmentation implants, or however, the good side and the downside of it, and she's sharing her experience, both the good side and the downside, and the medical impacts, that the negative medical impacts that she has experienced and what have you. Now, if you have questions and don't want to participate publicly or openly with this, you can actually contact Terry at T as in Tom, P as in Paul, E-A-K-E, that's T-P-E-A-K-E, 98 at yahoo.com. And Terry is willing to get with you, any group that is interested in, want to know more or want a speaker or what have you. She will be willing and is willing to share her experience and hopefully enlighten a number of you out there who are thinking about it or who have had problems. And I suspect, Terry, many of them probably gave up and are still sickened because the pile of paperwork that I saw that you had to wade through, I'm surprised you're not all wrinkles in an asylum now because, really,
It's bad.
Honestly,
It's real bad.
The going from having it done and it's beautiful and then the struggles that you've, and I can't even wade through the number of documents of how. And one of the things I want to get back to is that you actually, when you wanted to remove it and you had problems even getting your doctor who did the original surgery and who removed it, or the original surgery, to tell you what the brand was. Can you speak specifically to that?
The doctor couldn't remember me, didn't know who I was, didn't want to confirm that he'd done the surgery. It was mind-boggling. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't take my phone calls, ignored me. And I sent him emails and phone calls and leaving messages. Look, I just want to know what you put in there. That's all I want to know. I want to know what brand it is. I want to know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he denied that he even knew who I was. And at that point, you're sick, first of all. And you're reaching out to people. And I've been to many doctors. I had a neurologist that was working with me at the time trying to figure out what was going on with me. And as soon as I called her, I said, hey, you know what? I think maybe it might be the implants. She stopped returning my calls.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you think that they'd be willing to try to help you get better because that's what doctors are supposed to do, but it wasn't that. It was, these are crazy people. Implants don't make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. They're hysterical. They have silicone phobia. Even the surgeon that removed them put that on my operative report, that she has a silicone phobia. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
now you had to pay money, $400 yourself out of your purse. Can you tell us
right.
about that?
Well, when I found out that the Dow, the manufacturers were would help with it, paying for the removal, and maybe you might recoup some of your money that you spent going to all these different doctors and hospitals and whatnot. They said, well, you've got to supply us with documentation that you used our implants. So out of my own pocket, I had to spend the money to, first I had to find out where in the country, who does this kind of thing. You know, you have to find out where, and you learn, oh, there's a lab that'll do it, and they do a pathology and a microbiology on it and whatnot, and they're supposed to, you know, identify it, and they take pictures, and then they're supposed to send you a report back saying what the contaminants were, and if there's fungus or mold on it and whatnot. And so I had contacted this lab, and I had to send them $400, send it through the FedEx, which is pretty creepy anyway. But
now, speaking of FedEx, you shared a document with me that was from Resch Engineering, Inc., dated 9/12/2005. Shipping and handling of these items. Evidence should be evidence now.
Yeah, they're considered
they're
evidence.
They're calling it evidence.
That's right.
Should be shipped by Federal Express third day air, saver rate, or UPS second day air. Evidence will be shipped back to you by the same method after the conclusion of the investigation. Do not use U.S. mail to transfer checks or evidence with certified signature required. Tracking by FedEx or UPS is sufficient for maintaining chain of custody. Now, this is an official document. Apparently, this party is following rules of evidence. What happened? Was there a breakdown? Didn't he lose?
He lost them. Yes, he did.
He lost them.
He lost them.
And yet, he is the one who wrote you, telling you about the specifics.
The chain of...
The chain of custody.
Yes, the chain of custody.
And I found that rather suspect.
I found it very suspect also. I, at that point, did have to get an attorney involved to send them a letter saying, hey, you know, we signed a contract here. I spent $400 sending them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it states clearly that you're to send them back to me. That's his own words that mm-hmm. he would send them back to me because I needed those.
And even removing them was a difficult... He didn't remove them. Did the original person that implanted do the explantation?
No, it was a different doctor. I finally found a doctor that said, oh, I've heard of that, because a lot of the cosmetic surgeons never even, they didn't even know how to do it. They didn't know what to do. This is 2005. They just didn't even want to touch it. But I did find a doctor that was willing to do the explant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looking at the medical part of it and the impacts, what bothered me and got my interest, people are not going to know these things.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another item that... that was told that sent this letter, by the way, sent to you, and there is a register, a number that you are assigned, correct?
Absolutely.
That for tracking purposes, even Dow has that number.
Absolutely.
And these implants have serial numbers on them and the manufacturer.
That's right. And if I were to be mysteriously killed or whatnot, they could identify me through my implants. I don't have the implants now, but at the time. Yeah. Yeah. They do identify women through their implants.
Yes, they do.
The detectives do that. Yeah, sure.
But again, item six, manufacturer identification. The procedure is login of the physical evidence, non-destructive evaluation of the implant manufacturer using naked eye observation, magnifying lenses, and in some cases a digital camera or a digital microscope with an appropriate lighting is used to visualize any, quote, official or non-official unique product identifier. All of this specifics and all the great details, and then he loses.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is I started contacting him saying, okay, I haven't received them back. I need them. Because you're thinking at this time, if you need those to prove your case, mm-hmm. so you've got to have them, you know. I mean, it becomes so desperate, and you've released them to someone. And so I start, you know, contacting him. I need to get these back. Where are they? And he says, well, you've got to understand, I'm sitting in a room with boxes and boxes and boxes of implants all around me, is what he said to mm-hmm. me. And I can't find yours now.
Mm-hmm. Now, the I'm laughing because you've encouraged me to not be so sensitive about this, but because of people's health. The results of the investigation will be represented in three sworn notarized affidavits, which will state the manufacturer of the implants. Now, he refused to even tell you, am I correct? The manufacturer?
Absolutely. Well, you know, that was my second roadblock. The original surgeon didn't know what they were, didn't remember me, didn't know what he used.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a identifying plant that's a lab
mm-hmm.
that has lost them, doesn't know for sure. But, you know, I finally did get the report from him that I was able to use, and then Dow gave just reimbursed for the explant.
But that's because you had to get the
heavy hand. But I had to do that, yeah.
Get an attorney.
Yeah.
He didn't just... So, again, I'm looking at the explant payment claim form where Dow, you had to fill that form out.
I had to fill that form out, and I actually didn't have an attorney up till that point. I had done all of this myself
mm-hmm.
While dealing with the neurological problems that I was having.
Mm-hmm.
I finally, when the implants went missing is when I contacted a lawyer because I said, hey, this has something hinky going on here. Come on now, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawyer sent him a letter saying, you know, you must return these. Your contract says you will return them. And I never heard anything back from that.
And this was critical because...
It was critical.
Because...
Absolutely.
They had valves, and you need
Absolutely.
To know the potential
know.
For them leaking.
Absolutely.
And each one of them are uniquely designed.
Right. Right.
So it was important for you, correct?
Absolutely important, because you have to be able to see what happened with those implants. They need to be in microbiology. They need to be examined. And you need to know if there's mold on them, Aspergillus mold. Part of your recovery, even, is to find out what is mm-hmm. going on with that implant, because then they can maybe treat you. There are some doctors in the country that treat this illness, mm-hmm. but they need to know what mm-hmm. kind of implant you had,
right.
because different ones create different illnesses and different problems.
Mm-hmm. And then you submitted, share it with me. Well, first of all, it was a $5,000 explant payment claim form. This is an official form by Dow.
Right.
And it states here, I am making claim for $5,000 explant payment. I had my Dow Corning breast implants removed after December 31st, 1990, and on or before 10 years after the effective date. Please check my medical records for them. So you have to give up everything to people that can't keep control over a small box that is just chastising you or telling you, reminding you that you must keep control
of the process,
of the process and the evidence. But then all of a sudden, that's out the window.
Right, right.
Do you believe that this kind of diluted your effort to or impacted or impeded you in seeking recovery or justice earlier than later?
Absolutely, I do. The report that was sent to me from that lab was stating what kind they were, sent me pictures. Now, mind you, these implants were supposed to have been in my body 20 years, but yet the implants that are in the picture, I feel they look brand new. They look brand new. I don't know. I don't believe that those examinations are going on to the extent that they say they are. I think mm-hmm. that they've got models that they take pictures of and say, okay, this is the implant that you have, because they're going by sight, which is what he states in his letter. We go by sight. I think they throw your implants away as soon as they arrive. Mm-hmm. I don't think they examine them thoroughly. I don't think that even happens. I think they do identify them, say, okay, this is the implant that she had in her. Let's take a picture of what they look like when they're out of the package. And then that's what you get in the mail. Mm-hmm. There are some reputable people, and you can, if you have to go through the support group that I, have belonged to, there are some reputable places that will actually tell you the truth, and they do show you they're black, they're full of mold, they're full of fungus, mm-hmm. they're full of bacteria and all of that nonsense, mm-hmm. and that looks more like it came out of a human body after 20 years than the pictures I have.
Now, this, some might ask, well, what now? Well, You were, in fact, the so debilitated that you were unable to work, and that the Social Security Department actually recognized this illness and awarded you for, and can you, whatever amount you want to disclose.
Right. Well, that was a whole another ball game. I mean, mm-hmm. I was working at trying to, get some kind of resolution. I couldn't work. I could no longer work. I couldn't function. I didn't know what I was doing from moment to moment. I didn't even know who I was. I mean, that sounds, it's like an Alzheimer's. I mean, mm-hmm. it really was like having Alzheimer's at my age. And so I couldn't function. And at the same time that I was trying to get some kind of reimbursement or compensation from Dow Corning, I had also tried to get a disability through Social Security. And I had to prove, again, all of the illness and what mm-hmm. had made me sick and whatnot. It took 4 years. I finally got a hearing for a judge, and I was awarded disability. I was able to prove that I had significant cognitive impairment. That was my finding. And so I was awarded, and then I attempted to go back to work, which hindered me. I was told by the judge at my hearing that if it was good that I was trying to make an attempt to go back to work, but that if any time I couldn't continue, to let them know and I'd be reinstated. That was July 2011. I have not been reinstated. I was denied, and I'm in appeal on that now.
Mm-hmm.
I have not received any compensation
mm-hmm.
Whatsoever. I'm not on welfare. I have no income coming in.
Mm-hmm. And then so I, early, and we've talked about this, but I played the song The Commodores, The Brick House, and then some of the other songs to try and speak to. It's all around us. I don't even know what numbers mean, 25, 30, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but and double D's. But imagine a world that's being created in our music, and the wolf calls and the girl walking along. Yeah, and so
J-Wow.
All of these things. So rather than waiting until that moment comes, maybe there should be some kind of education or support groups that talk to young ladies, and I guess it's not about just self-esteem, because you can be attracted. You at 19, you started going to Los Angeles, Tinseltown, looking for a job, and get that. It's like a freight train moving fast. I want on it.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true.
And
it's
Los Angeles. Having lived there for 18 years, it's one of those trains that kind of easy to get on, but hell getting off.
Absolutely.
And once you get caught up in it, you're moving. And for a young girl, and could result in many things, but it tend to. I want my nose cut. I want my eyes made rounder. I want implants. I want buttocks. I want buttock. And I didn't realize that there were buttock implants.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other part of this story, too, is a lot of people that have made it.
Mm-hmm.
The Anna Nicole Smiths, the Pamela Andersons, the ones Sally Kirkland speaks up about this issue. There's been a lot of women that have come forward that have made it in the industry that have gotten sick. Mm-hmm. Tara Reid, for example, she had a lot of problems with her plastic surgery. And there are women finally in the business that have come forward and said, you know, I had to have mine removed and I'm not getting them back in.
Mm-hmm.
Some continue to still have them put in. Dolly Parton. She finally admitted a few years ago that her breasts were breast implants. And sometimes they'll get them stacked on top of each other.
No.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. It's not even just one set of implants. They don't make them that big. They stack them.
So, yeah. So does that mean double Ds?
No.
Oh.
That's the cup size. But, no, some of them actually do. I believe Anna Nicole Smith had... stacked hers, and she ended up with lupus. So when she passed away, all of us were just like, oh my goodness, here we go.
Well, and you share it with Anna Nicole. You've talked yesterday, and I thought, and I went back and did a little reading, and I'm thinking, she was on medication.
Absolutely.
Lots of medication.
Of it, yeah.
And doing control substances as well and prohibited substances. So imagine that.
I can't.
Was she medicated so and with the drugs? Was this
as a result of
the pain from the... I don't know.
I don't know, but I do know for personally myself, mm-hmm. at one point I was on 3 inhalers, 8 different medications. You're not yourself, obviously. You're mm-hmm. sick. And then they, take this. Oh, you need to take this. And they shuffle you off to another doctor. Here, go see this doctor, go see that doctor, orthopedic, this one, that one. It's just craziness. I ended up having 2 surgeries last year, because I ended up with diverticulosis, which mm-hmm. was my intestines, you know. They removed a foot of my intestines. Then I ended up with hernia, and then hernia repair, and then I had another hernia repair. You know, so I've got blisters on my face. I still break out with blisters, mm-hmm. On my face. They say, oh, that's shingles. You've had them 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, just turned 50 this year.
Now, I was reading about the cytoplasm, and you mentioned your stomach problems, and then it talks about people that have these implants that have had negative impacts. Some of it could be attributed to the cytoplasm. That is airborne, and fibromyalgia, and all of these things, and the science is out there. It just hadn't been accepted or put together
right.
So that the manufacturer and FDA... seems as the FDA is, I mean...
Oh, my goodness. That's a whole nother can of worms, isn't it? But let me tell you, they finally did prove the link between fibromyalgia and implants, but mm-hmm. they're saying that's only if they've ruptured that there's a link. But my body absorbed, I believe, the material. When I had the second scar capsule removed, I had to go to a breast cancer surgeon here in Honolulu. She came into the recovery room and she said, Miss Peak, I cannot believe what I found. Now, this is a woman who does mastectomies.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I found blue nodules in there. I have never seen anything like it. She goes, I don't even know what it was. I to this day, I don't know what that was. The scar capsule contained blue nodules.
Why aren't you just a nervous wreck?
I
read your files and
I'm sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
It's sickening. It really is. If I can help one person, you know, I mean, it just makes me sick. It's just, it's the world of Frankenstein. It really is. And you know, medical movies, those are, I mean, this is a nightmare. It's a complete nightmare.
Well, my advice is that, you know, ignore the cat calls and go for broke with what you got. You know, if you can't accept you as you are and as beauty is, you know, if you can't accept that, then you're not getting much anyway. You know, if he got to rely on fakeness to get love, I don't know. That's just me speaking from the other side of the fence. Caller, good morning. You have a question, comment?
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead. Hi, Marsha. You're back. Go ahead.
Yeah. When you talk about what the pharmaceuticals, you know, pharmaceutical companies have changed their name to Farmers so that you don't get this drug thing in your mind. Mm-hmm. They're still pushing drugs, but they call themselves Farmers. And when you look at what they do with other drugs, mm-hmm. And how they do the testing and the surveys and even the doctors they pay that are on their staff, it's incredible watching what they do and how they tell you, and it's really okay. And if you have a doctor out there that tells you something different, what they try to do is really do a number on that doctor so that you don't believe that this is really what's going on. Or he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's too controversial. You've seen it, not just this case, but tons of cases where they cover. And the fact that they have doctors on staff that go around and have these expensive dinners for other doctors, and they push their product, and they've got this particular doctor who has these great credentials on staff to tell you how wonderful these drugs are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And only if you, of course, you're not, as a patient, you're not invited to these expensive events. And if you look at statins now, how every doctor's pushing statins, mm-hmm. and you look at how many of them went to the statin conference paid by the statin people.
That's
and
so true.
It's the same thing.
They just put
it's
me
the
on
same
stats.
Thing.
Yep, that's so true. You know, and the other thing is you get labeled. You get labeled as being, oh, she's got anxiety, she's got psychiatric problems, oh, this and that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, yeah. And then what they'll do is they'll refer you to another doctor or whatnot, and then they say, oh, yeah, but she's got this and she's got that. They talk behind your back even. You know, and then you get there, and they've already got this preconceived notion, and they have no plans of helping you. They just want to, well, the rheumatologist told me, you just need to go swim in the ocean. Really? Or they want to put it back on weight. Oh, it's because you gained weight. You know, or you've got some kind of psychological issue. You know, it's just a big runaround. It really is. And you don't have people trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, they're in the business of trying to help people get better. You know, not make you sick or make you worse.
I would challenge that notion that they're in the business of helping you get better. No, they are in the business.
Yeah.
If you get better, they are out of business.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. No, it's not about you getting better. It's about, have you noticed that no matter which doctor you go to, and this is not just for breast, but anything, mm-hmm. if you have a cold, whatever, if you go to the doctor, when you know that the interview is over, he gets out the pad and starts writing the prescription.
Yeah. Well, that's why they call it practicing medicine. They're still practicing.
They're practicing. You know, we had a beauty salon, like I told you before. We could not do business if we had not already mastered the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't cut somebody's hair without a license. And you can't call yourself practicing. Practicing is when you're in school.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to practice. Let's try this. Let's try that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's with everything. You're right. It's absolutely everything. They just want to get the prescription, give you a prescription.
You know, give you a prescription.
And they don't keep track of it. Let me tell you, that's another part of this whole thing. Let me tell you, Long's, I'm going to call it right out there. They're not linked. Just so everybody knows, if you go to Eva Beach Long's and then you go to Kapolei Long's, their computers are not linked. Okay?
Oh, my.
They are not linked. I assume they were linked. They're Long's.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same company. They're
so
right up the road.
I went
to get a prescription, and they gave me a deadly interaction. I got a call and saying, I had to figure it out by reading the insert. You know, the insert, like you were talking about, Marcia, that they give you. Said, do not mix this with this other medication. And I called them up, and they said, well, we're not linked. This is Eva Beach now. We're not linked to Coppola. I said, what do you mean you're not linked? You're Long's. You're the same store. Well, their information is their information, what they have in their computer, and ours is ours. I said, well, you guys need to tell people that.
Well, the CVS bought Long's,
mm-hmm.
and what they did was keep the name Long's.
Mm.
It was an article right after they bought it, and somebody, it was a little piece in the paper, and somebody said, well, this isn't Long's, you know what, and they said to keep the local people from being bent out of shape, they kept the name Long's, but it really is
CVS,
something
yeah.
else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if you go in there, you can see that the name brands that you used to get at Long's, you mm-hmm. can't buy because they're now CVS brands.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And but I don't know about them not being linked. You would think in this day and age of
yeah.
internet connection around the world to the moon, you could at least get a connection
right.
from...
Well, what I found out is you're really responsible for your own health care.
Okay.
You're
yes.
really responsible for everything that you're putting in your body, whether that's medication, implants, getting a hip replacement, knee replacement, all of that. You really have to know what you're getting into because the information is out there isn't always the truth. It's a lot of quackery going on, really. Your health is in your hands. It really is. And then if you have a problem, get on the merry-go-round because it's going to go round and round and round. And there's no responsibility that's taken, you know.
One of the things that I discovered, and you have also, is that we have such, as a culture, we have such awe and respect for doctors. And so that we don't challenge well, the doctors say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you come home feeling twice as sick as when you went in, and the doctors say it.
Right, right, right. That's it. That's
so
it.
It's only that now at this age that I have learned to fire doctors.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, okay. And say, okay, thank you, and then don't come back.
You're
Let's
right.
find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be nasty about it, but okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. One doctor told me, I read the interactions on the form that the pharmacist gives you, because most people don't read it, and it said the drug interactions. So when I told her about that, she said, I don't pay attention to that. So I didn't go back to her again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking of all of this. What and where does a person go? I'm looking at a few groups, support groups. There is one, Implant Truth. This is, if you want to try this, try Implant Truth. IMPLANTTRUTH dot JSHOOD dot com. Dot com. And if you want, slash links dot html, but or just go on the Google or Bing or do a search for support groups. And I think the first thing you owe it to yourself, any of you that are out there that are either considering this or that have had it and experiencing problems, Google it, and I encourage you to do that. But you were going to say something, Terry?
Yeah, I was going to say that it's tuberose.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's T-U-B, as in boy, E-R-O-S-E. Has a lot of information on there for all the different implants and what's in them and the chemical makeup and whatnot. That's real important for you to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's saline support.
Mm-hmm.
.com, breast implant awareness.
Let me ask you this. When you, it took you a while to learn that the illness connected the two. How long and how many doctor visits and how many illnesses would you just guess, just in a general sense, from the day when you start experiencing sicknesses till you connected the dots, so to speak?
Well, 1997, I started getting sick, and 2005 is when I made the connection.
So you were 8 years of wallowing in pain and suffering.
Right, and it was, by that time, probably 30 to 50 doctors. Mm-hmm. Trying to get different diagnoses, trying to figure out what was going on, because it was joint pain first, and then it led to other things. You know, mm-hmm. there's different things that were involved, neurology, the mm-hmm. chiropractic, you know, I mean, there was everything. It was joints, it was muscle skeletal, there was neurology, there was thyroid issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they're advertising these cut, nip, and tuck and make you look beautiful augmentation, Do they, if you take Cialis, if it lasts longer than 4 hours, call a doctor? Do they have those kind of warnings? It may cause liver disease in those?
No.
I
don't remember anything like that.
No, they do not. They mm-hmm. do not.
So there is a gaping hole mm-hmm. right there. The FDA really isn't doing anything if they're not requiring, because if we know there are known illnesses associated with this.
They give you the list of illnesses to check off if that's any of the illnesses you might have. So.
This is what I suspect, because it is a male culture. Mm. If it was a male penis implant, we'd have FDA and everybody breaking the necks to get things right. And congressmen would be struggling. I mean, they'd probably lynch you. But why is it on issues with women, things that impact women, that it's just long, drawn out, and you got to make sure you lick the stamp, mm-hmm. put your silicone bags in a box, make sure mm-hmm. you got the evidence, and don't sign it because we don't want any signatures
right.
to trace it.
Right.
But if it was a man, they take him out back and shoot him in the head.
You know, I forgot to mention, too, there's another very, very important part to this story, which is the children, when you have children.
Mm-hmm.
When I breastfed, they told me you can breastfeed. You know, that's a whole nother. So there is silicone kids. Support groups as well, because the women that have breastfed that were pregnant with implants that were sick, it did transfer to a lot of the children. So there's other...
And no one's howling at the moon about that.
No.
No. And I did not, of course, I was past the childbearing age. However, as I'm recalling this, because it's been so many years, I remember... the amount of they put those catheters or whatever they call them on each side of the breast, and it leaked and leaked and leaked forever. I remember being, you know, like feeling I couldn't go anywhere because I'm always bandaged up with mm-hmm. this leak.
With those drains, the drains, and then when they take them out, they just yank them out.
Uh-huh. But it just drained and drained and yeah. drained. It's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, do I have anything left?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's all, as I'm listening, I'm recalling because it's, you know, like I said, it's been so long. And because I had no one to talk to, everybody seemed at that point, well, this is new, we don't know what we're doing, we don't know what mm-hmm. we don't know what to look for. And no one knew what to say or do at that time.
Right, you know, and when you get that hardness in the breast, the capsular contracture, they manually try to pop it. They say, lay down on the table now, this is how we have to resolve this. Mm-hmm. And you're at the cosmetic surgeon, and they physically, with their hands, try to pop that pocket. You know, they try to break that scar tissue with their hands. I had that done, and that was the most painful thing. I could not believe that they're trying to do it that way, but the doctor was trying to do it that way. It was just unbelievable to me, and of course, it hurt like crazy, and it didn't do anything. That scar capsule can't be broken like that. But,
Let me tell you one of the funny things about this, because I have replaced all of that with the funny stuff. I was in recovery. Now, if you have ever spent any time in Chinatown, you'll see this guy that walks around looking like Elvis. You know, he's very tall, very fair skinned, with very black hair, and you know, it's not the makeup. He really has taken on the persona of Elvis.
Is this Neil Abercrombie acting?
Well, anyway, he was, you know, in recovery, was male, female, everybody. And so I wake up in this stupor with all the drugs and whatnot, and I looked over, and here's Elvis, and I thought, oh, no. Oh, no, I have died and gone to Graceland. You know, this cannot be. He's like, oh, God. You know, the delirious state you're in with all the drugs.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, no. Oh, yeah. No.
Well, anyway, we're going to post some of this, and I have a couple of your pictures up on the website at carolcox.com, and there we'll put some links up to some of these, and hopefully, if I'm able to reach one person,
that's it.
To avoid, it's okay with me.
Well, now, answer. Can I ask you a question? Do they still get hard, or have they done something to make that a better? I don't know about the modern.
Just a moment.
You know.
This is a question for you, Terry.
Yes, they still get hard, and almost every set gets hard, and that's partially because of the scar capsule that's underneath that's trying to get rid of it. It's trying to block it off and wall it off and get rid of it. That's the hard part.
And they're giving a 10-year life expectancy of these anyway, right?
Now they are. Now when you go and you go to a consultation, they say, well, they got to be replaced every 10 years like tires. They have to be maintained. They're calling it a maintenance.
And then I guess you would have to pay another original fee.
Yes, you do.
So once they got you.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But they are getting a warning now.
Yep, I thank you so much for stepping up to the plate and really talking about this. Like I said, I had no one to talk to. I had nowhere. No one was able to answer any of the questions. And I know I wasn't the first person.
No.
There was no.
Well, thank you, Marcia, and thank you, Terry. And again, this is Terry Peake. We're talking about breast augmentation implants with Marcia Joyner and their experiences. And I'm sure there's positive experience. And woman went out and made herself beautiful and endowed and scored the big man as she wanted and feel positive. And so there's always pluses to it too, but. It's unfortunate when a product, and that's what this is, a product can have its impact, then that calls into questions, you know. So.
Well, I think if you suspect that you're sick, just, you know, start looking into that because it is a possibility. If you're having those kind of issues, the joint issues, the memory issues, the pain, the fatigue, any of that kind of stuff, it's very similar. All of the women that are sick have the same kind of issues. So if you are feeling that, then check into that and go on the support groups, and you'll get a lot of information there.
Terry, thank you. And I'll post your name and contact information up. And I really appreciate you coming in. And again, for those of you who are expecting Walter Cronkite and all the fancy news and the political stories, I'm not into that. This idea, having two women share their experience, is of greater importance to me and life-saving. Women are dealing with breast cancer, and they're dealing with the morning pill and can't get this done. And it's like, I'm beginning to think America really don't think of women as being first-class citizens anymore.
Well, sweetheart, what do you think this election's been about? If you listen to some of the stuff that's going on, and they say, oh, there's no war on women. Well, bullshit.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there absolutely is.
You know, come on.
And what about the children, for goodness sakes?
Yeah. And the girls that look at these pretty pictures of young, impressionable teenagers and think, I want to look like that.
It's all about money.
And they're doing it on young girls.
It's all about money, yeah. Get it for graduation, yeah.
Well, my listeners are going, this is Sunday morning, and bull, what? Anyway. Well.
Oh, come on, your listeners know.
Good for you.
And this program, really, you need to repeat it as many times as you can. And it is so refreshing to talk about something other than the nasty political ads. Oh, thank you, Carol. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for calling in, too. That really helped me a lot.
Yeah, and we'll have you back on, Terry, as much as you want to come back. And, Marcia, hey, I wanted one thing. Talk about Novalay Gonzalez, who I became fond of and really appreciated meeting him. And real quickly, Marcia, for me, you know, when you grow up, you're this cocky male. You walk around, and the first thing out of your mouth is at the expense of others. You tell bigoted, nasty, painful jokes about gay people. I mean, that's what you grow up in, that culture. And you don't know it, because that's normal. You know, you walk into a bar, and half of the conversation of that, of the stupid thing that are being, is about gay people. I, as an African-American, know how painful it is to hear others tell racial jokes. Now, I can do self-deprecating remarks myself. It's okay. I understand the magnitude of it, and I know the severity of it, and it's entertaining at times. But you don't realize this. So I got a chance to meet, or had the opportunity to meet, Novale. And this is this transition that he was dealing with. He had a show on Olelo, AIDS Isn't Over Yet. And I felt, after meeting him, and you get past that, well, he's gay and whatever, you see a human being. And I'm fortunate. You know, people say, well, I'm so happy he came into my life. And I'm truly fortunate, because I've got a great understanding that behind the word gay, it's a human being. Like whatever we're talking about here, breast augmentation. There's an illness associated with that, and potentially. So meeting Novale, well, he passed, Marcia, this...
The 16th of October.
And if any of you have ever wanted to meet a real human being, that was Novale Gonzalez. I say that, and I'll say it loud and clear. And then,
can I just read to you what I wrote?
Okay. Yeah, let me finish this one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
And so what happened is, Nova had this show on Olelo, AIDS Isn't Over. And I felt like, you know, I had the opportunity to go with him to the Gregory House and see and film other places and learn that being gay and with, if you have HIV or AIDS, or there is a discrimination barrier here that is god-awful ugly. Right here in paradise. And so having dealt with him and learning and being there and going out and filming and bringing that message is something I won't forget. You know, that's my story, and I'll tell it any day and any time. When you learn from people to care for others, that's greater importance than anything on this planet, money or whatever. He can teach you how to make a lot of money, but if he can teach you how to respect others and divest yourself of bigoted behavior and statements and remarks, that's even greater. Go ahead, Marcia.
Okay, my dear Novale, the beauty that you live with, the beauty that you live by, the beauty with which you base your life, this beauty will take you into eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You have slipped the surly bounds of earth and danced the skies on laughter's silver wings. You've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and have done 100 things. You reached the heights.
Mm-hmm.
Unsurpassed, the sanity of peace. Put out your hands and touch the face of God. I love you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well.
So, and Novale's ceremony will be, his celebration of life will be at the Waikiki Community Center, where he volunteered so much time, on the 24th of this month of November. Mm-hmm. That's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And we really want you to come and join this celebration, because he lived a great life. He lived with AIDS. He did not die from AIDS. And I think that's the important thing that we take away, of how we live with whatever it is that we have, how we live with it. We don't die from it.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just so good to know that this man actually was, he gave a lot. And so the organizations, he was with the Hepatitis Foundation.
Hepatitis Support.
Support. And so If any of you care or are willing to share your kind donations, contact the Waikiki Health Center or the support for hepatitis or all any other groups, and let's make a difference, because we don't have to wait for others to show us the way. We can show one another. So that's really good. We don't need the government telling us how to care. You know, and this is going, it's going to happen. So anyway, I hope we all pick the right horse in these races, these political. I wanted to say the right horses, you know, but without one. But anyway.
Well, again, I want to thank your guest. Just like Nova Ray, it's about sharing and living with whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That you have, and sharing it so that it makes a difference in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And again, thank you for this opportunity for me, because I've never talked about it. So thank you so much for allowing me the space to talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you the next subject next week. I'll get you to talk some more.
Thank you so much for calling in. That really helped me to open up and to feel like I had some support out there, and it was wonderful to hear that you know, you were able to finally talk about something that happened so long ago, and I really, really do appreciate that, and that gives me a little fire in my belly to keep going and talking about this.
Well, thank you again, and
alrighty.
Charles, you always do such good work.
Well, thank you. Alrighty.
Thank you for being there.
Okay.
Okay.
So if any of you got any ideas out there or subject, like I say, we're not entertaining, and we got 2 hours to sit and talk about anything we want to. And if you folks want to join in, you pick the subject. While it may not be laid out in format to this or that, we don't care. The fact is, we're real human beings, and there are real issues. And so I'm looking, hopefully, that I can do. But again, all I can say is my hat's off to Nova Lay and other people that have come into my life and shown me a difference, because you don't know what it is to tell a hateful joke, but I do. And then over the years, you know, you grow up, as I say. And so having met him, it was a joy, and then I'll continue to harbor the same good feelings about him, which I will project on others, you know. Stop the hatred, and let's do something to make things better.
And have compassion, too.
Yeah, so, Terry, real quick, and you have anything you want to say other than...
Anybody that'd like to reach out and needs more information or whatnot, again, it's tpeak98@yahoo.com, and I'll get you a steer, hopefully, in the right direction. I have traveled that path already.
Yeah, tpeake98@yahoo.com.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. And those your phone number is what?
285-3527.
Okay, and then we'll post it up at carolcox.com. So thank you, and I'll see all you next week. Aloha.
Aloha.
And now for a little bit of the blues.
Try.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.